It's estimated that more than 8,000 Australians were infected with hepatitis and HIV due to tainted blood transfusions in the 70s, 80s and 90s. Now a campaign is being launched for a judicial inquiry into what's called, they're calling, a scandal. Victims claiming governments were aware at the time of the risk of tainted blood and they failed to inform them and then didn't do proper screening when tests were available. One Australian campaigner, Charles McKenzie, says evidence of institutional wrongdoing has been buried in confidential legal settlements signed by victims. In the UK, where a judicial inquiry into an almost identical scandal has been announced, MPs have alleged in the Parliament there is evidence of a criminal cover-up. Mark Ward is a haemophiliac. He lives in Britain. Mark was infected with HIV and hepatitis through tainted blood transfusions as a child, and he's been one of those leading the calls for an inquiry in the UK. He's in Sydney at the moment to help launch the Australian campaign for an inquiry here. Mark Ward, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you.
Mark, before we get to the campaign for a judicial inquiry here, can you tell us a little of your own experience? You were infected with HIV and hepatitis as a child. How did this happen?
Yes, that's right. Actually, the list goes on and on and on. I was born with severe haemophilia, which is a bleeding disorder. So I was diagnosed at 3 years old, but even that didn't come without problems because obviously when babies start having bruises on them, so the authorities start looking. So my parents were under investigation of child abuse from the word go. Diagnosed with severe haemophilia, and then because the treatment is made from blood, it's a blood product, basically every injection that we had, and I had almost every other day, infected me with something. So you're talking maximum exposure.
So this was in the 70s. Did the health authorities know the risk at the time of tainted blood?
Yes.
Did anyone know you were being given tainted blood?
Yes. 100%.
How do you know that?
Because there were other victims at the time that when questioned, the doctors just said, well, it's in the blood. So we're talking hepatitis B, CMV, and also Epstein-Barr virus. It's the most common virus on the face of the earth, but actually Epstein-Barr is found in every single cancer as well. It's a carcinogenic.
Could the authorities back then, did they have the tests to screen the blood?
There was a hepatitis B test, but in the UK, we know that they used the blood of haemophiliacs because we were infected and we were going to them, remember, we were walking through their doors. They would use our blood to manufacture testing kits and also the hepatitis B vaccine because there was a huge race between the countries.
But when were you told that you'd been given blood tainted with HIV and hepatitis A, B and C? How did you find this out?
I was 14 years old. I just had spent 6 weeks in hospital after major knee surgery. And as my parents were wheeling me through the haemophilia unit waiting room, one of the haemophilia nurses popped up from a hatch and said, would you like to know Mark's HIV result? My mum and dad looked at each other and said yes. And she said, he's positive. See you next time. That was it.
And you were 14, and that was how you were told.
14, that was how I was told.
And you had no idea?
No. Because there were things happening on the telly. The following week, we went back and saw my consultant, and the information I was told was, you tell nobody because we cannot guarantee your safety. And it was on a need-to-know basis, and nobody needs to know.
So at that point, though, was there any sense that you had some rights or claims for compensation or protection, or that you had been irresponsibly given this blood? Was there any sense of blame?
No, because the way it was packaged was that there was this dreadful accident, and unfortunately, somehow the AIDS virus got into the blood, so it wasn't anybody's fault. And when you're told that, similar to somebody, say, who survives a car crash, you're a survivor. Mm. So every day the mentality was, I woke up as a survivor. And it wasn't until then in 1991, in a HIV consultation, I saw them writing in a box that said HCV. And I'm very inquisitive. I like to know what's going on. I asked what it meant. And that's when I was told that, you got hepatitis C with the HIV. But when you get one, you get the other. Nothing to worry about because you'll die from AIDS long before it affects you.
So just the point about it not being a mistake.
Yeah.
Your point, and this is central to the inquiry that'll be running there, and some people want to run here, many people want to run here, that it wasn't a mistake because the blood you were getting as a haemophiliac was this pooled blood.
Yes.
It was not a straight transfusion from a single donor.
No.
And that's what made it dangerous, that they were importing this from the US, where a lot of people's giving blood were prisoners, and that population is a higher risk of these diseases. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. In Arkansas, they actually built a fractionation plant, which is how they make the product, on the side of a prison. So they literally wheeled the prisoners in, they harvest the blood from them, it didn't matter what state they were in, and they then made it into products to be injected straight into the veins of little boys.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 22 past eight. Our guest is Mark Ward. Mark Ward is a haemophiliac who was infected with tainted blood, contracted HIV, hepatitis, basically all of them, when he was a child, and has been, of course, ill from these diseases ever since. There is an inquiry now that was announced by the Prime Minister last year. Theresa May announced the establishment of an inquiry into the tainted blood scandal. Mark, you're coming here to help people demand an inquiry here. What do you know of the tainted blood saga here? Was the Red Cross, which is one of our major blood donor bodies, aware that tainted blood was being given to people back in the 70s and the 80s?
I would definitely say yes again, because you see the notion of any doctor on wherever they're located, they all share information. And so at that time, especially within the world of haemophilia, doctors and certainly in that generation, they like to think that they've got good egos, and they like to stroke their egos. They share their information with each other and their peers. So they would regularly attend conferences and share data. And with the issue of hepatitis B, it was known about right back in the 1950s. There's Dr. Garrett Allen actually sent warnings that mass pooled blood products did cause hepatitis. It caused infection. And there's other pathogens in there as well. It's not just viruses.
We've had a Senate committee into this here in this country some years ago. There's many submissions to that. One of them suggested that the Red Cross, for instance, if you look at the records, this is in the submission from Turner Freeman, knew that certain blood donors were going to infect people. Donor B, for instance, according to this submission, Red Cross record included a notation in 1983 that he or she was, quote, not to donate until April 88 because of known risk factors, and yet the Red Cross record showed blood was taken from donor B on at least two subsequent occasions. Now, from all the knowledge you have of this, why would an organisation like the Red Cross do that, knowingly take this blood again and use it, even though their records say quite clearly, do not take blood from this person?
Based pure and simple money, profit. And when you're looking at a community that has been basically condemned by what actually appears to be the whole of the Commonwealth, we in the UK, a health minister said at the time, use haemophiliacs for testing because they're cheaper than chimpanzees.
And that was said?
Yes, that was said.
By a minister?
Yes, and it's documented. So this contempt for a group of disabled people that are, again, a quote, expensive to maintain, they felt they could get something back from us. So we, you know, the money it takes, get something back. So they use this for research non-consensually.
Mark, to quote another UK politician, the former Health Secretary Andy Burnham alleged in the Parliament there had been a criminal cover-up of the scandal in Britain.
Yes.
Do you believe that that's what will be found in the inquiry, and if there is an inquiry here in Australia? And does that mean people will be given compensation, if not prison sentences?
I'd like to see prison sentences. Yes. The outcome of it, I can't see how they cannot find criminal activity, because one of the very similar parallels to here in Australia was the signing of waivers. In the UK, they secretly tested all haemophiliacs with an unlicensed test in 1988. Along came the HIV litigation in 1989-1991, and I myself had a letter appear out of the blue, knew nothing about a court case or anything, and the letter told me that I had to sign this waiver. If I didn't sign the waiver, nobody would get any money. And when you think that you've got friends dying of AIDS, they needed that money for their families and for them. No, I wasn't going to not sign. So I signed the waiver under duress and really coercion. I signed my rights away. Then, literally within 6 months of this signing of the waiver, they told me I had hepatitis C, but I couldn't sue.
Mark Ward, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Mark Ward is a tainted blood campaigner. He's a haemophiliac. As you've heard, he's contracted a number of diseases through blood transfusions, and he's here in this country to launch a campaign for a judicial inquiry into tainted blood here in Australia, along the lines of an inquiry that is due to start this year in Britain.